Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Steve Cortez and Ted Budd are here to unpack inflation and open borders and the framing of the Davos cartel versus the citizen. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and make sure your plus sign is checked in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Come to our Student Action Summit at tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. So it's imperative that we hold the North Carolina Senate race. I love North Carolina. It's one of the nicest states in the entire country. North Carolina, the Tar Heel State, has some phenomenal people. And we have with us right now someone who is running to become the next senator from North Carolina and not allow a Democrat to win. Ted Budd is with us. Ted, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Charlie, it's great to be with you. And I first met you in North Carolina back when Nancy Pelosi put me on her list of 33 members of Congress, Republicans to eliminate back in 2018. Remember, it was a tough year for Republicans. And Don Jr., you came into Davidson County, right there in the middle of North Carolina, and campaigned for me. And really appreciate that.
I remember that very well. So tell us about your race. And I mean, North Carolina is experiencing a lot of the same sort of issues the country is experiencing: rising crime, inflation. Talk about some of the top issues that you're running and campaigning on that are affecting North Carolina voters.
You know, historically, you've seen somebody have to change from the primary over to the general, but you don't really have to do that in this race because the issues are still the same. And it's two main issues. One of the things that I did among all the Democrats that were running, really who just consolidated around Sherry Beasley. And, you know, we had a big primary that we had to navigate through on the Republican side. But we went to all 100 counties, far west in the mountains, the corners in the east of North Carolina, and talked to folks all across the spectrum. And the two issues, Charlie, that keep coming up. One is inflation. I mean, even today, we're seeing new inflation numbers and yet have increased again. It's now 9.1% over the prior 12 months. And, you know, we're coming into next month where parents are preparing for back to school. They're going to have to decide, are they going to put groceries on their table? Or are they going to buy new clothes and a new backpack for their kids going to school? So these are real decisions that are affecting folks. Construction businesses trying to keep the doors open with the rise in material costs. And then the other issue we're seeing, it has to do with crime. And a lot of that crime, Charlie, starts at the border, because what sheriffs in North Carolina are telling me is every single county is now a border county because of Joe Biden's open border policies. And my opponent, Sherry Beasley, I mean, she's going to be an exact rubber stamp for these failed policies of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. There's nothing that she would do to differentiate herself. Now, while she may try to spin North Carolina and say that she's a moderate, she's proven over and over again as a Supreme Court justice that she is nothing more than a left-wing radical. This is not about personalities. This is about the policies that we would endorse. And everything that I want to support is about making life better and easier for North Carolinians and for Americans.
Can you tell us about your Trump endorsement?
Yeah, honored to have received on June 5th of 2021 when Donald J. Trump, the 45th president, came to North Carolina for a speech. And Laura got up on stage. Laura Trump, his daughter-in-law, said that she was not going to run for U.S. Senate. And when Donald Trump resumed his speech, he endorsed me. And so it was an absolute honor. We won out of a 14-way primary overwhelmingly by more than 34 points. But we had to put the work in. But I'm very, very appreciative to not just Donald Trump, the 45th president, for his support of me, because that really made North Carolinians pay attention. But also Laura Trump and her kind words, and then also Donald Trump Jr. He was a huge help as well and continues to be.
So Ted, talk about, you know, what your opponent is running on and in contrast, and then just talk to our national audience. You know, North Carolina is a lot like the country. You have some very strong conservative areas, but then you have the research triangle, which remains to be very left-wing and liberal, and then some purple suburbs, and a lot of people from New York and from the Northeast moving to North Carolina. Talk about how North Carolina is a microcosm for the rest of the country and how you're going to navigate that in your race.
Absolutely, and it's a lot like that 2018 race where we had met before, because it's not just purple. I mean, we call it a purple state, but really that means it's a lot of red and a lot of blue. We have major metropolitan areas. We have Charlotte, Raleigh, Wake County area, Cary, where the research triangle is. And so there's a lot of folks coming in, New York, California, but not all of those are of the ideology of those states. A lot of conservatives are moving from there to find a place more at home. So yes, we have to be very careful around the college towns, Chapel Hill, of course. But we think that our message really resonates with folks. It's going to resonate with all Republicans, but we're also reaching out to the independents. And this is an open primary state where unaffiliateds can vote Republican or Democrat. But they overwhelmingly pulled their Republican ticket and then voted for me. And then we want to reach out to a few of those remaining blue dog Democrats who believe they never changed their party registration, but they believe in the same things that we do, where we love our country. And they realize that the progressive radicalism that's come to live in the Democrat Party has just completely left them. So we're reaching out to them as well. And we hope to win. We've got 118 days as of this podcast, but we've got to put the work in, because just like that 2018 race, all those red counties that I represented was offset by half of one county, and that was Greensboro at the area. But we go into those urban areas and we ask for their vote. We engage if it's Hispanic American, if it's African American, and we want to let folks know that the policies that I support are the ones that make their lives better and easier. And so that's our message from now for the next 118 days. And we want to make things better, not just for North Carolinians, but also for our country, because we think we can take back the U.S. Senate.
Well, I love it. TedBudd.com. That's TEDBUDD, two Ds. Ted, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck. We're behind you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to tell you guys about Elizabeth Warren. It's a very interesting clip here. So for those of you that don't know, let me tell you about crisis pregnancy centers. So I speak at a lot of crisis pregnancy centers. They have another new name they're going by, which I think they're called family planning centers. Is that right? Something like that. So I've always said this for a while. The pro-life movement does an abysmal job of marketing actually what these organizations are. They do such heroic work. The mostly women who work in these pregnancy crisis centers are so compassionate. They're hardworking. They're sympathetic. I spoke at a great one in Los Angeles. I spoke at a phenomenal one in Texas. But largely, most people have no idea that these even exist. Most pro-life people have no idea that an idea of a pregnancy crisis center actually works, or what it is. So a pregnancy crisis center is this, is that a crisis pregnancy center is they'll give someone a consultation and essentially say, hey, you might be, you're pregnant, you're in crisis, and they'll give you an ultrasound and they will give you another choice or another option. For example, keeping the baby. Now, a pregnancy crisis center is there to support women that very well might have no other access or resources to see the baby on an ultrasound before they make the actual decision of terminating the human being. Pregnancy crisis centers are phenomenal. They're one of the great ministries that exist, and many of them are faith-based, not all of them. But again, I will reiterate this, that pregnancy crisis centers are not well-known enough in America. There's been a ton of money spent towards pro-life causes, as you saw with the reversal of Roe versus Wade, but most pro-abortion people do not know. And it's not just about keeping the baby. It's also about diapers and supplies and strollers and clothes that are provided free of charge from these pregnancy crisis centers. They literally save lives. Now, if you type in pregnancy crisis center to Google, immediately an SEO-targeted ad for abortion will come up. An abortion ad will come up. And then you go further down, you'll see an ad from Planned Parenthood. This is, what are crisis pregnancy centers? This is from Planned Parenthood. Crisis pregnancy centers is what they say is this. are clinics or mobile vans that look like real health centers, but they have a shady, harmful agenda to scare, shame, or pressure you out of getting an abortion, to tell lies about abortion, birth control, and sexual health. This is what Planned Parenthood says, the butcher shop. Crisis pregnancy centers don't provide abortion or offer a full range of health care. They won't give you honest facts about sexual health and your pregnancy options. Their goal is to spread misinformation and propaganda, says Planned Parenthood, the eugenics operation funded by our taxpayer dollars responsible for the millions of deaths of human beings. And so instead of most people being aware of pregnancy crisis centers, they have to kind of fly below the radar. They do their best to advertise. It's word of mouth, and they have an amazing impact. There are, I believe, over 1,800 pregnancy crisis centers across America that save, I think collectively, they probably save anywhere between 100 to 250 lives per each one. That is hundreds of thousands of babies that are saved thanks to pregnancy crisis centers. And again, a lot of people have never heard of what a pregnancy crisis center is. And so look, California attempted to force pregnancy crisis centers to advise patients of the closest location where they get an abortion, and the Supreme Court blocked it 5-4. So Elizabeth Warren just inexplicably and brazenly comes out and says, quote, crisis pregnancy centers are there to fool people looking for pregnancy termination to help outnumber abortion clinics 3-1. We need to shut them all down across the country. I thought it's live and let live, Liz Warren. Oh, no. Liberals never want it to be live and let live. It's we're going to shut you down. We're going to force you to comply to our agenda. Play cut 57.
Since right now, those crisis pregnancy centers that are there to fool people who are looking for pregnancy termination help outnumber true abortion clinics by 3-1. We need to shut them down here in Massachusetts, and we need to shut them down all around the country. You should not be able to
fool people.
A pregnant person.
We need to shut them down all across the country. We need to go use the force of the state, people with guns, to go along and shut down crisis pregnancy centers. This is actually not even about what you might think. It's about abortion. We could talk about how wonderful crisis pregnancy centers are. By the way, every single one of you watching, if you're pro-life, you should find your local crisis pregnancy center, support them financially, and volunteer and make it known. But it's about something else. Elizabeth Warren knows Joe Biden's not going to run for president, and this right here is a stunt to try to get donors and get visibility. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the 3-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. I want to play a piece of tape here. Actually, let's bring our friend in, Steve Cortez. Then I'll play a piece of tape. Steve, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show. I want to get your reaction to this. Let's play cut 43, and then I'll let you take it away. Play cut 43.
And it is out. Headline CPI much hotter than expected, up 1.3%. And if we look at year over year, this is really hot, up 9.1%. And 9.1% puts you at 1981. And finally, the year over year core, which is becoming much more important to the Fed, up 5.9, also higher than expected.
Steve, welcome back to the program. Your thoughts, your reaction. How bad is this? I know it's bad, but kind of give us some perspective on this.
Sure. Now, you know, I want to give you some perspective and also some data on just how bad it is, because the headline number is shocking, but I think the details are even worse. It was nice, by the way, there to see Rick Santelli, somebody who I really know and admire. He and I were around the Chicago's futures and options markets at the same time. And then we both ended up getting into television. And he's one of the few people, frankly, in corporate media who really tries to tell the truth, who really tries to give an unbiased view of what's going on in the economy and financial markets. And he does a great job. And unfortunately, he's surrounded by a lot of people who are not so diligent rigid nor so honest. But here's the reality. So the headline number 9.1% is horrific. It's the worst CPI read since 1981. But I would submit to you, Charlie, that the reality for most Americans is even worse. The on-the-ground circumstances for most Americans, as shocking as that headline number is well into the double digits. And to back my view, it's not just my hunch, to back it with data and evidence. If you dig into this report, as I did this morning, as soon as it came out, when you look at the most important components, you find that they are well into double digits, some of them shockingly so. And I particularly want to look at the staples, meaning the have-to items of life, things that are not discretionary, they're not luxury items, they're just basic staples that people have to buy to function in society. So three of them in particular, and I put this up on my social media, if we look at groceries, gasoline, and utilities, if you look at those three items, Charlie, and again, those are have-to items. So groceries, not talking about dining in fine restaurants, not talking about with Brett Kavanaugh at Morton's Grill, just the grocery store. That is up, according to government statistics, year over year, 12.2%. Gasoline, up 59.9% year over year. Utilities, up 38% year over year. So combined, those three items of groceries, gas, and utilities, up 37%. Year over year. Charlie, that is such a staggering number, by far the highest of all time, not just a 40-year record, an all-time record in terms of inflation pace for those have-to items of American life, that it's really shocking. And what it's doing to the American people is unfortunately very notable. It's the reason, I think, the primary reason, the overwhelming reason why consumer confidence in the United States is at an all-time low. And again, that's not my opinion. That's the data as measured by the University of Michigan, which has been doing a rigorous consumer sentiment survey that goes all the way back to the 1950s. So we have literally 70 years of data. Consumer confidence has never been lower. Unfortunately, it's not surprising given this explosion in inflation, which again, it's bad on the headline number, but the devil's in the details, and this devil is really awful.
Yeah, and Steve, what's so extraordinary about this is that people are trying to understand, you know, what is the motivation behind this? And so we touch on this quite often on this program, but Steve, can you in some detail walk through that if you wanted the World Economic Forum agenda, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, America will no longer be the world superpower, Western values will be brought to a breaking point, the Klaus Schwab Davos agenda, which really is the divide, it's Davos versus the citizen, how is it that these economic numbers actually satisfy the appetite and the demand of the world's ruling elite to get us closer to the WEF agenda? Can you explain how that works? Because it's rather confusing to some members of our audience.
No, it is. And that's understandable, right? And in some ways, it's so sinister that it's almost hard to believe that it's the reality, Charlie. But it is, in fact. And I would, by the way, point to this inflation is already not starting to stoke a lot of serious unrest and chaos in countries around the world, places like Sri Lanka. I think Sri Lanka is exhibit A of what the World Economic Forum Green New Deal agenda can do to a country and do to it relatively quickly. When you let Greta Thunberg effectively become your minister of energy, a snotty Swedish teenager who scolds you into ignoring natural resources, which of course are critical to powering any economy. We see the same thing happening in Germany. We don't see the chaos yet, although who knows what will happen. But in Germany, electricity prices, Charlie, just this year, they are sevenfold higher than where they started the year. Electricity is becoming, believe it or not, a luxury item in the country of Germany because of these policies, which you're very right. They do emanate from the globalists around the world, whether you're talking about the World Economic Forum folks like Klaus Schwab or the multinational CEOs. One thing I would also point out, when it comes to inflation, it's extremely harmful for all middle-income people, all lower-income people. There are some firms, though, and upper-income people who actually benefit from inflation if they are the producers of these resources that are massively galloping higher in price. So it as a rule, it crushes regular working-class people. It crushes small business. But there are select big businesses, global businesses, which actually welcome inflation. And that's the sad reality. But I think the most important thing, Charlie, is that what we see right now, and we see it here in the United States, we see it in an even worse example in Europe, is prioritizing an agenda, a radical agenda, over practicality, particularly when it comes to energy. The United States, thank goodness, we are just blessed by the Almighty with an unbelievable, with oceans of energy literally under our feet. The ability to not just be energy independent, but to be, in fact, energy dominant. We are Saudi America, if we choose to be. under Donald Trump's leadership, we were choosing that path. And we were producing endless amounts almost of dependable, affordable domestic energy. What did Biden do when he took office? Well, he followed the lead of the WEF. He followed the lead of the UN, of the globalists. And he started to attack American energy, to attack pipelines, to attack permitting and drilling. And unfortunately, he was quite successful. And that was really the first spark that started this inflation conflagration. But he then went further and said, we're going to pour so much spending, so much exorbitant borrowing and spending onto this economy, which did not need it. There was not a need for capital. The economy was actually recovering very, very well. Donald Trump's handoff to Joe Biden was actually spectacular. It was really the Trump boom 2.0. The recovery out of the 2020 doldrums was fully commencing, especially in the freedom jurisdictions, places like Florida that were being reasonable about the virus. So he was handed a lot of upward momentum in the economy. No need for him to engage in a multi-trillion dollar binge of borrowing and spending. But when you combine that spending binge and borrowing binge with a war on American energy, you created a perfect storm for inflation. And that inflation, of course, continues to explode. And, you know, Charlie, I think it's also important to note for the audience out there, I've encouraged them, take notes on who told you that this was transitory. Right. We heard that endlessly from Biden. And you might say, well, of course, he's a liar. But a lot of other people and a lot of other institutions that you might have some trust for, that you might have at least believed in the past, like the Federal Reserve, they told us time and again, this is transitory. Jerome Powell, you know, the man whose principal job is to try to watch for exactly this phenomenon, to try to stop inflation from taking root in the United States, a man with an army of PhDs with ostensibly the best knowledge of anyone in the country about what's happening in the economy. He either is totally incompetent or he's a bald-faced liar because he told us many, many times that this was transitory last year and then it was going to go away. And perhaps it's a combination of both. He's dishonest and he's incompetent. But regardless, the reality for regular Americans is really terrible. Let me give you a few other stats because, again, I think the devil's in the details. You know, I mentioned groceries, gasoline, and utilities. Here are some other items and just how fast they are growing on a year-over-year basis. Health insurance. Now, supposedly, the Dems are the ones who bring us affordable health care. Health insurance up 17% year over year. New vehicles up 11%. Airline tickets. If you're lucky enough to have your plane take off, which doesn't happen that often these days, airline tickets up 34%. In the morning, you like your bacon up 12%. I know I need my coffee. I need my cafefe very first thing in the morning. I'm a Colombian. This one really hurts me. Coffee up 16% year over year. And by the way, I want to mention there regarding coffee, because, of course, the corporate media complies with the White House in this ridiculous canard of an excuse that it's a Putin price hike. Well, Charlie, last time I looked, we don't get any coffee from Russia nor from Ukraine, right? That has nothing to do with the war over there in the Black Sea that I believe should be a regional struggle and really very unimportant to the United States if we would just stop escalating it. But my point is, coffee prices aren't rising because of what's happening in the Black Sea. Coffee prices are up 16% year over year because of an inflationary spiral that we have been put into through terrible economic mismanagement from both the Fed as well as from the fiscal side, the Congress. And I would say, by the way, Republicans are complicit there, too. It's not just Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Mitch McConnell has played ball and enabled all of this Biden nonsense as well. And he shares blame. Biden gets the load of the blame. But I think there are establishment Republicans who share blame for this economic misery. And it really is misery for regular folks right now, Charlie.
It's phenomenal analysis, Steve. And I just want to reinforce this. I know this is really hard for some people to grasp, but the misery that you might be experiencing at the pump, the difficulty to pay for groceries, the inability to purchase products that you need for your family, the unaffordability of utilities, it's all part of an ideological agenda to destroy your purchasing power and give money to the World Economic Forum. No longer should we look at things versus Republicans and Democrats. We have the Uniparty that is part of the coalition of Davos, and then we have citizens. It's no longer right versus left. It's Davos versus the American people. That is the proper framing. It's no longer Washington. It's none of that. It's Davos versus you. You got to support Steve's Substack, Steve Cortez's Substack. He does a great job there where he explains all of this analysis, where you can get this analysis on a regular basis. One of the best things you can do to improve your health is get at least 7 hours of quality sleep every single night. I know it's hard to get that much sleep. Your mind keeps you awake and you can't get comfortable. But you wake up early and you can't fall asleep again. There's hundreds of reasons why you can get 7 hours of quality sleep every night. But listen, this is very important. Your body needs to heal itself when you sleep. And you're not getting enough quality sleep, you're increasing your risk of disease and making it harder to lose weight. Would you like to know an easy way to get more quality sleep every night? Well, make sure you're getting enough magnesium. Believe it or not, around 75% of people do not have enough magnesium. I take magnesium every night, and as soon as I did, it's a game changer. One of our team members that helped runs our events at Turning Point USA, she was having trouble sleeping. I recommended magnesium to her. Bang. Game changer. There's actually 7 different unique forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, sleep-enhancing effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed. You'll be amazed by how much better you sleep. How much better rested you feel when you wake up. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk to save up to 42%. Again, you can save up to 42% of Magnesium Breakthrough when you go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk, magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Steve, I want to play a piece of tape here and get your reaction. It is Karine Jean-Pierre saying, "We are stronger economically than we have ever been in history." Play cut 60.
When you look at inflation, when we look at where we are economically, and we are in a strong, we are stronger economically than we have been in history.
Steve?
Well, I mean, it's astounding, right? I mean, I'm almost speechless, and I'm not a guy who's often speechless, Charlie. Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, first I want to say there have been a lot of clowns at that podium, quite frankly, over the years. But I think she is, without a doubt, in my view, the dumbest press secretary ever. For her to say that to the American people, right, knowing full well the data that is out there right now, you know, I mentioned consumer confidence is at an all-time low. She clearly knows that or should know that. And for her to then step up and say, well, all the Americans are wrong, and this is actually the greatest economy in our history, it shows you really that we have a buffoon, and we have a lot of buffoons, unfortunately, trying to manage our country and manage our economy. And the consequences have been catastrophic and very dire. And while we can almost laugh at the absurdity of what she's doing there and the drivel that she is spewing, there's nothing funny about the consequences for regular Americans, you know, and particularly regular Americans who live close to the edge financially anyway. You know, if you're a single mom right now, Charlie, and you have a long drive to your work, to your working class job, what is going on right now is stressing you out incredibly. I've been doing a lot of campaigning. I know you have as well. I've been on the campaign trail for a lot of these primary races because I really want to make sure that not just Republicans are elected, but America First Republicans. And it's been a pleasure to do the bus tours and the fly arounds and town halls. And I have met hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of regular Americans and talked with them. I'll tell you 2 things. Number one is they bring up inflation first almost every time, almost 100% of the time. The first concern
yes.
comes up. They have other concerns. Immigration, other things, but the first is inflation. And then secondly, what I will tell you, and this is something that the numbers don't reveal, you've got to talk to living, breathing human beings to get this, is the very real anxiety and pain. You know, I've had moms tell me, I'm not sure that my son can play baseball this summer because I can't afford the electric bill and baseball, or I can't afford the grocery bill and baseball for my son. People are having to make these kinds of really hard decisions. The kinds of decisions that for many of them, they've never made in their lives. We haven't had real inflation in this country since the 1970s. So anybody middle-aged and lower has never experienced this kind of inflation. And by the way, I think in a lot of ways, it's actually worse now than it was in the 1970s, as bad as that period was. So the human consequences of these policy just disasters are very real. They're very dire. And I believe it will be the animating force. There's a lot of reasons, I think, for Republicans, and particularly for America First Republicans, to win not just these primary races, but the general election races in November. But I encourage all the candidates out there to laser focus. Inflation is what is bedeviling Americans. It is sapping their spirit. It is crushing their bank accounts. We have to deliver messages and policies that
yes.
will fix it. To me, the first and easiest fix, Charlie, unleash American energy.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we just recently endorsed Blake Masters in Arizona, phenomenal candidate. Steve, if you're not behind Blake, I encourage you to do that. He's similar
totally
to J.D. Vance. He's going to be terrific.
Yeah,
Blake is special. He really is. And J.D.'s now in a general race against Tim Ryan, which I think he'll be fine. 30 to 45 seconds here, Steve. Can you go around the horn and just name some of these America First candidates that our audience needs to be aware of really quickly?
Yeah, and to add to year two of the Senate, I certainly support both of them, Masters and J.D. Vance. I also think Adam Laxalt in Nevada is somebody to be very excited about. I'm behind Eric Greitens in Missouri, Katie Britt in Alabama. I think there's this crop. Most of those folks I just mentioned are new to politics. Most of them are young. I think there's going to be a real America First wave. There's going to be a freshman class in the U.S. Senate that is going to transform that body. And I'm going to keep working for it and encourage the audience to do the same.
Very good. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. Phenomenal commentary. As always, check out Steve Cortez on Substack, where you can get this analysis. Terrific depth and really ahead of the time. Thank you so much, Steve. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.